recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Nida is Daf Samach Zayin, and we went a bit ahead yesterday, and we're up to the lower, last third of the Daf. And it's Omar Rabbi Yochanan from the bottom of Omar Aleph up, about a third of the way up, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Patcha Eineha Biyoter, O Atzmai Eineha Biyoter, Lo Atala Tfila. Yesterday we were discussing various things that could be either a chatzitzer, a chashash, that she won't be tovelet. And those were things that could get onto her. So the last thing that we were referring to was eye shadow on the eye. Once we're talking about that, we move on now to discuss, even though we said yesterday that the way in which she has to be tovelet is after a chafifa and so on and so forth. The question is, does she have to make sure that water gets all around her body? So yesterday we said, well, there's a difference. Kol haroi lebila in bila ma'akevet bo. So Beit HaStarim cannot have a chatzitza, but they don't literally need to have biyat mayim. Now the question is, but what defines Beit HaStarim that doesn't need biyat mayim? So as we're going to see, the Beit HaStarim is defined by the normal way in which an individual as a biological organism, not as a particular, as an office worker, you'll say, an office worker, he never exposes his body, and he never... Human beings aren't office workers. Human beings are animals that need to eat and that do things in order, what we call, to achieve derech eretz, the way of the earth. So now the question is, what is considered to be a normal posture that defines what area needs to have biyat mayim, and what area doesn't have to be at the mind? So first we discuss unusual ways of holding the body. Unusual ways of holding the body, and this continues on directly from yesterday's, having eyeshadow on the eye, if you squint or if you open up your eyes too much, either way is not normal. So even if you don't have eyeshadow, you're not allowing the water to get in. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan, patcha ineha biyoter, she keeps her eyes very much open. Or she squints. If she keeps her eyes very much open so that the area above the eye doesn't allow water in, because it's good. Try it, and you'll see. You prevent on top of the eye, you prevent water from getting in. If you squint, then your cheek becomes closer to the eye, and the area under the eye gets creased and doesn't allow water in. So it's mine, I'll be out there also. Lo atala tvila. It's not a kosher tvila. It's a chatzitza. It's that the water didn't cover your entire body. Tvila is defined by water covering the body. And if the body isn't in a position that water would normally get into, then this particular position is not kosher for tvila. Et pisaro. The way in which the woman should be standing to allow water to get in is defined by normalcy. How do we define normalcy? Derech gedilata means the normal way of doing things. Now, the truth is, the only place that we have an indication as to how to measure that is in terms of dinin negayim. In Dinim Negoyim, the Torah says, L'chol mar'eh inei ha-kohen. That a kohen is supposed to look at a nega, L'chol mar'eh inei ha-kohen, what he would normally see. Now, if somebody has a nega in a place that's not normally seeable, so that he's not, because he has a nega on his underarm, what he's supposed to do is, has to hold up his underarm. He has a nega in the crotch. What does he have to do? He has to spread his legs open that the kohen should see him. No. The thing over there is that we define normalcy by, and this has nothing to do with dress, as I say. Normalcy is defined by the human being as a biological organism. It's called derech eretz. A human being as a biological organism eats, is a farmer. A woman as a biological organism is a mother. So depending on where this nega is, That Yishat lo tifal derech de latakir etznan, like we learn in the Mishnah Lagabi the Goyim. If a man is near eke oder, so let's say he has under his arm, he has a nega. How would he look holding a hoe? He's hoeing. Fine. So if the Kohen would see a nega there while he's holding his hoe and doing work, then that nega is a komarei near Kohen. If that nega would not be exposed under those conditions, and that's the most he would extend his arms as part of his daily activities, everyone is a farmer, so that's not considered to be a nega. Or kimosek. And Rashi learns kimosek means, let's say he has a nega between his legs. Does he spread his legs? But normally, and this is a very strange shot Rashi has, normally, the way in which he would bend down to pick up zeitim after he shakes the tree to get the zeitim off is very strange to call mosaic. So as much as he would bend over, when he bends over, he spreads his legs a little, he exposes his genitals. That would be the amount that the Kohen would be considered to be l'chol mara'i ne'er Kohen. More than that, he doesn't have to spread his legs. Tosfos says that it's clear from the Braita that this is not referring to the genital area. It's referring dafka to the underarms. So that both of these things are two different positions in which you would move your arms. One is up, one is to the side. That's as far as genital positions are concerned. They're the Mishnah brings other examples. The same thing is true of the Isha. The Isha nirake oreget to communicate bina. So in the woman. So here Rashi again learns. Oreget means if she's working on a weaving machine. So she would put her hands up in order to straighten the threads of the shti. That would be on the top. And how about between her legs? Well, she would bend over to nurse her child. How much would be exposed if she would bend over to nurse her child? But Tosfos says, no, that's talking about a nega on her breast. How about, normally her breast would be folded over, but she would hold her breasts up to feed a child. So if the Kohen was looking, what would he see at that point? That's a Chomarehen Kohen. What about what is considered to be Beit HaSterim between her legs? That would be that he brings her. There's another Braita that talks about that. It talks about her Mishnah. Talks about a woman bending over to make pot. So she's orech at the pot. So there she also bends over. That's as much as would normally be exposed. It's a remarkable thing that we mamish see humans here in their natural state, without clothing. How much is it that you would see in a daily basis of the body that's considered to be exposed? Anything else is not considered to be exposed. There's no other way of learning the circuit, because otherwise it's absurd to compare dinim of bias mayim for tefillah to l'chol marein ha'kohen. It's absolutely sure. What does one have to do with the other? L'chol marein ha'kohen is one thing. Where mayim is roi b'kav is another thing. Unless the Gemara is taken for granted, what defines normalcy? That's all. What is the Torah referring to when it says to do something? Be tovel. How do I stand up tovel? Dance around and do 400 tefillahs, make sure that the water gets all over like these crazy does.
613,
whatever it is. What is the Torah referring to as normal when it's referring to Mari and Eir Kohen? It's the same normalcy. So the only way to define normalcy is in terms of pure Derech Eretz. Otherwise it becomes Natat Advarach L'Shirin. There is a talk to different people in different times in different places. So as a body, that's why we're talking about farming or nursing. Because farming and nursing is part of the human condition. There's no way you're going to be able to live without farming and nursing. Everything else, using your computer, you'll get along without. So in the mail, this defines what the Torah is referring to. Omar Rabba Bar Avuna. You should know when it comes to chatzitza, even a single hair, and in a sense only a single hair, as we'll see because of another reason, nima achat kishura. Obviously, it's only for prisoners. Makdis, we'll see later. Without hakpada, miut is never considered to be a chatzitza anyway. But assuming that a person is trying to get out every knot from their hair, if they would see a single knot, they would try to get it out. So then, a single hair, but only a single hair that's tied tightly, does not allow water to get in to that hair. And therefore, it's a chatzitza, because there's no tefillah. Shalosh, but if you have three hairs together, you can't tie them tightly. There's too much, since the hair is hard, there's no way that the hair can get tight to prevent the water from getting in. So that's not a chatzitza. It means three altogether. Two, I'm not sure, in Yodea. Rabbi Yochanan says, listen, we have a Kabbalah. The only thing that we heard was, Ono in lano ela achat. What we heard was, One hair can be tied tightly enough to prevent biatman. Omer of Yitzchak, you should know that midiraita, this whole thing is ridiculous, because the only thing that could be chetzetz is if something covers growth, and you're makbid on it also. But without that, if it's, even if it's rogue, if you're not makbid on it, it's not a chatzitza. And if you are makbid on it, it's miyuta, it's also not a chatzitza. The only thing is that the Rabbanan were made a gezerah. And the gezerah was, so even if it's rubav eino makbid alav midirais, it's not. But gazru al rubosh eino makbid, mishum rubo makbid, since people might get mixed up, and see if it's a rove, and anyway we allow it, in a case where it's not makbid, which would be the din midiraita, they'll think that a chatzitza is only the entire thing. So therefore we were gezer, if it's a rove, even if you're not makbid, since you could come to be over on a diraita, they were gozer. Furthermore, they were gozer even on a miut where you are makbid. Because even though miut is never a chatzitza, even with hakpada, but they were afraid that if you saw that even a miut that you're makbid on, so then maybe they would even allow a rove that you're makbid on. So, I mean, what's your big gezeira? Why not the gezeira of a miut that you're not makbid on, because of a miut that you would be makbid on? No, that's silly. That's two steps. A gufa gezeira. The din of a miut that you are makbid is itself a gezeira. So I'm going to make a gezeira and a miut that you ain't makbid? Because of another gezeira on miut that you are makbid? I'm not making a gezeira the gezeira. That's what we should make. One gezeira to support another gezeira that we don't do. So now the question is, how do we measure this? According to many of the Rishonim, this din of the Sa'arot is a special din of Chatzitza defined by Rubo of the Rosh. So Sa'arot is learned out from Et Bisaro, and therefore it's considered to be a different measurement. So if Rov of Rosh would be kosher, that would be considered to be a Chatzitza B'Yoraita. The Rambam learns there's no such thing. Chatzitza is measured by the entire body. Rosh v'gufa, together. So even if the entire head was chatzitz, midiraita wouldn't be a chatzitza. Even if you were makbid on it, because your body is not rubo b'chusa.
Hair of the body?
No, whatever part of your head, skin, whatever, it's all one thing. So memela, it's really, the whole thing is really midirabona. Okay, but that's the Rambam sheet. Okay, so in any event, we need to be very careful. This is one of the reasons that we had the din of Chafifa yesterday. That was a Takanas Ezra that the Gemara talks about elsewhere. And Ezra is mitaken that a woman should be chofefet et rosha before tefillah. So she has to wash, she has to shower, and she has to comb her hair through. And there's a very elaborate procedure. Omarav, when is she tovelet? Nida bizmana, obviously, if she's a real Nida on her seventh day, she can't go to the mitzvah because she's still a Nida. I mean, that's a type of sharetz v'yapa. So that's a joke for her to go there. I mean, she might as well go to the mitzvah the day that she became a Nida. So obviously, she can only be tovelet that night. Shalom bizmana. But how about if it's already after that night? It's 3 days. 3 days later. Her husband wasn't in town, she can go to the mikvah, her husband's coming back tonight, she wants to go to the mikvah in the middle of the day. That's fine, says Rav. Shalom bizmana, she can be tovelet ben b'yom ben b'layim. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Makes no difference. We never let a woman go to the mikvah in the middle of the day. Ben bizmana, ben shalom bizmana, ina tovelet ala b'layim. We always have her go to the mikvah at night. Why? Mishum srach bita. We're worried about her daughter. A daughter pays close attention to what a mother does. But the daughter doesn't know exactly what's going on in terms of the privacy of when she's a Nida and when she's not a Nida. So if her daughter sees her going to the mikveh, daughter's a little girl, she's 10 years old, sees her mother going to the mikveh in the middle of the day, she jumps to the conclusion that when you need to go to the mikveh, you go in the middle of the day and then you're home that night. So she'll do the same thing when she gets married, she'll go to the mikveh on the seventh day. You know, while it's almost dark, she'll go to the mikveh and she'll come home at night. So she'll be Tamei and Mamish. So because of that, we were gazer, says Rabbi Yochanan, not to allow mikvahs in the middle of the day. And the truth is, Rav Avcharata, Av Rav Odarbe. Even though Rav, we just quoted as paskening, that she can go shalom bizman in the day, he Avcharata. The Omer of Kibarashi Omer Rav, Nida bein bizmana bein shalom bizmana, ena tevelet ela balayla mishum srach bita. He said beferish, the Sfar of Rav Yochanan. So clearly, he Avcharata afterwards. Now, it's possible that we have sometimes with making such a halakha, we're going to cause more problems than we came to solve. And for instance, in Narish, there was a big problem. The problem was that at night, the women were terrified to go to the mikveh because they had been attacked by lions. This sounds crazy, but Lamaisa, not long ago, here in Yerushalayim, they had to pay people to live in Mishkanot Shananim. Because of the lions, not to mention the Arabs. but there were also lions. People were terrified to live outside of the city, and so there were no walls.
What more, they have to pay policemen?
Yeah, exactly. You have to go to the community. We'll see. We're going to talk about that. So if you would be tovelet at night, she would be jumping and jump on and not be careful, and so on. It would be terrible. So he was metakein in Narish Ravidi. Was metakein in Narish Dafka to be tovel in the day. Obviously not in the seventh, where it's the right, you can't be tovel. But wait, don't be tovel at the night after the seventh day. Wait until the eighth day and be tovel at Biyom, where it wasn't dangerous. Mishumar Yavata. Because of the lions. Ravacha Bar Yaakov was betaken in Papunia because of the gangs at night. She was terrified to go out. This bomb was in Baltimore. It was a shrek. No, seriously, they used to. People were terrified to go to the mikveh. You know, the blacks were there.
Neighbor change.
Before they built the new mikveh. So they hired watchmen to stay around the whole area. Mishum Ganva. Rav Yehuda was metaken in Pumbedita. At night it was freezing cold. The women would run out, spend about 1/10 of a second to jump in and jump out, and not do a proper tefillah. She was gezer dafka, should be in the daytime, but it wasn't so cold. Rava was metaken in Mechuza, Mishum Abuloi. The Abuloi, the stupshat that she brings, one is the gateman of the city. At night, there were watchmen at the gates. All we need is to have women walking by the watchmen in the middle of the night. They'd get raped. Or Abuloy, the other chat is, there were rooms around the city, around Bechuza, where you could fall in the holes. And because there was, obviously, there wasn't lighting, so his people were afraid to go. And there he was attacking. Obviously, the Abuloy doesn't make much sense in terms of how it would affect the tefillah. And then this would be a completely different type of takana. Stam, that they were afraid to be told they didn't go out at all. I mean, it doesn't help to run past the rooms and fall into a hole even faster. So this, the second shot is not consistent with the other approaches. Sorry? The Nar, the Nar. They didn't have mikvos in the city. Went up to the Nar. Okay, Papa. Lorovo Labaya. I don't understand. What are we talking about over here? I mean, nowadays, nobody's in need anymore. Nowadays, everybody Everybody is a suffix zava. I guess my son came to replace me this time. So no, you have to sit here and take over.
You don't get punished to be late.
That's your punishment. Yeah, but you can also sit at the table if nobody's around. So anyway, so over there, if we just saw yesterday that everyone anyway has a din of a zava, so what's a chayich? There's no longer a problem anymore. What's the problem? By the time she's tovelet, she was already shomer shivas nekiyim. She's shomer shivas nekiyim anyway. She's allowed to be tovelet beyond. So why isn't if sofik zava shavina rabbana literally no be a mama de shviya? So let her go to the mikvah on the seventh day. No, because even over here, says the Gemara, we're going to apply Rabbi Shimon's Tanya that we saw so many times before. Yishum the Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya. Since it says in the Pasuk that Safra la Shivatya means Va'achar Tidhar, so Achar Tidhar means Achar Lekulan. First, the Poshita meaning is Shalotei Tumam Afsek B'nei. Has to be that you have the consecutive days. You can't have a tumor. Remember, I disagreed before. Doesn't mean you can't have any tumor. It means you can't have a tumor that would be seiser before. So it would have to be dafka, this type of tumor. So that's where we remember the din of Poleta Shechvazera. We had the same question over here. How it would affect a woman to be sotara to Shivasakim because of the salah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, achar titar means achar maaseh titar. The truth is, after the svira, you could go to the mikveh, and then she would be tired. You don't have to wait till the end of the day. The only thing is, okay, don't do this, because if you do it, so if she's mishameshet, she'll be tavoli de safek. What if she's roya afterwards? That'll be seis of the shiva slikiyin. Now it'll turn out that he was mishamesh with his zava. So it'll tavoli de safek. So even though now the whole thing is mamash chumra chumra, that even antipas dam kechardal, she has a din of a zava, but lamaisa, it's the full din of a zava. We wouldn't allow a zava to be tevelas v'shvi because of maybe coming l'day shibush v'safik. So to today, we have exactly the same gezeira. Now, the shaila is yesterday, of course, we had the two pshatim, Taisvus is pshat, we had the other rishonim, in what the meaning is of the din, the difference between the two shitas and the Gemara, which was mashma, somuch l'chafifa, or whether that was a din in a different time, if one was in one aina and one was in the other aina, then somewhere, medayek, that even if it's somuch, but since one is b'yama, one is b'layla, so then that's not good. L'maisa Tosfos Taina, the entire halacha over here has nothing to do with how you're supposed to do it. It's only a question of whether you found a davar chotzetz. Others put its actual din in how you're supposed to do it. L'maisa, in terms of it finding a davar chotzetz, the psak is to be machmer on both. So if it's not somuch l'tfila plus, or if one is b'chififa was b'yom and the tfila was b'layla, so then even if it's somuch l'machmer according to many, okay. But now the shaila is, how close must you do the chafifa to the tfila? So the takana l'chatfila somuch l'tfila. How about, we have a shaila like this to this year. What would happen if a woman has to be tevelas on Tisha B'Av? So the thing is, we say, Kedayu, Beit Elokeinu, Lafsi, Tfilah Achas, big deal. So she'll lose the Tfilah on Tisha B'Av. Okay, she's going to make with Mitzai Tisha B'Av. But over here, Mitzai Tisha B'Av is really 2 days after, because she's not Tevelas, she can't be Chofefet on Mitzai Shabbos, because it's Tisha B'Av. She should only be Chofefet on Erev Shabbos. Because by the time Mitzai Shabbos, Mitzai Tisha B'Av on Yom Rishon, as we're going to see, we don't like the idea of doing the chafifa balayla. We try to do that bedafka during the day, and then to immediately be tovelat afterwards, right after it's tzekachah. She goes there. Why is that? The main reason is because we're afraid that she's too excited. By that point, it's nighttime. She wants to already be with her husband. She's too excited to do a proper job. It's also easier to see in the dance, but okay, so we could bring lights. But we're afraid psychologically, under the best of circumstances, she'll spend much less time being careful. Okay, so what is Adif? And this is the question we're going to get into in our Gemara now. Is a child to be Chofefet Erev Shabbos and then wait until Mitzvah Tisha B'Av 2 days later? Or is that already ridiculous? That's not even a Chafifa. Okay, those are the things that we have to get into today. So continues the Gemara. Amar Avuna, you should know that an Isha can be chofefet b'echad b'shabbat, v'tovel b'shlishi b'shabbat. Why not do the chafifa, even though we said somuch, the chafifa somuch l'tvila, but this is apparently somuch enough, because at the time of the Takana Zezer, let's say, today, she wants to be on a Sunday, she wants to do the chafifa and be tevelet at night of Yom Shlishi, that's also okay, because what would have happened if she needed to go to the Mikvah on Mitzray Shabbos? So she could have been tevelet Mitzray Shabbos, even though she did the chafifa on Erev Shabbos. So she can be chofefet b'Erev Shabbat, but tevelet on Mitzray Shabbat. Obviously, we're taking for granted that we do not want the chafifa to be at night. So this we'll see that's because we're afraid that she's mehumala beita. She wants to get home, and she's not going to do a good job. So therefore, it's only reasonable that part of the takana was she could do the tefillah, the chafifa erev Shabbos, and be tovelet then. So then it's the same thing. So move it liyom rishon, and be tovelet erev shlishi. Not only that, an isha could be chofefet also, even more than this. She could be chofefet on a Sunday, and be tovelet b'rivii b'Shabbos. Why? Because what if she was chofefet erev Shabbos, and she's tovelet b'motzei Yom Tov, where Yom Tov was chal liyot achar Shabbat. So you see, obviously, Ezra took that into consideration, which would mean that 2 days later you could still do it. So why not do it today? That must be included in somuch l'tfila. Not only that, but an isha could be chofefet on a Sunday and tovelet even on the lail of the Thursday. Why? Because also Ezra must have taken into consideration she can isha chofefet be'erv Shabbat v'tovelet b'matzeh shnei yamin tovim shorosh shana shechal liyot achar Shabbat. Because at the time of the takana there was no lo adu rosh and there was no problem. So what if the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah would come out already then? So you see that it must be that this was included in the din of Chafifa. Rav Chisda says, no, listen. I mean, yes, in the actual case where Rosh Hashanah really did come out, okay, your halach is correct in understanding what the takana is. But to say, and therefore, if there's no necessity of such a thing, that there's no nafkamina to us, if you do it 2 days before, 3 days before, that you don't say. Kulo amrinan. But shekein, what are you going to say? Therefore, do it under normal circumstances, because if you have to, that you don't say. Because eichad efshar efshar, eichad lo efshar lo efshar. You cannot extrapolate from what is essential to a case that isn't essential. Rav Yemar amar, even the shekeins are not true, necessarily. Now, even the shekein, the way that we have it, we would do. But all your shekeins aren't true, because the kulu isn't necessarily true. So I'm ready to say the shekein you could say, but not the one about isha chofefet v'chad v'shabbat v'tovelet v'chamishi v'shabbat. Why? Because your original assumption isn't true. L'matzei shnei yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah, that comes out achra Shabbat, that was never included in the takkan. Later. Because you have to use a little bit of seichel over here. I mean, l'maisa, it's possible to have shnei chofefet b'layla v'tovelet b'layla. It's possible to have where it's just unreasonable that that would be considered a proper chafifa. And you're going to tell me that half of the week has passed and it's still a proper chafifa. So even there, it would have been better to be the chofefet, even though it's b'layla. It's less of a problem than to be chofefet 3 days before. So Mamela, you can't jump to such a conclusion in such an unusual situation where you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah coming out b'davka after Shabbos. You have no reason to assume that included in the takana was that she should indeed be chofefet before. L'maisa Rabbeinu Tam later, on the next stop, learns that there's a little bit of a, it's actually Lagabe Tisha B'Av that he brings it, which over here is real serious. Tisha B'Av over here, it comes out on a Sunday, and then that would mean that the Chafifa would be Erev Shabbos, because you can't be Chofefet on Tisha B'Av at night or the night following, just you'd have to wait until the night afterwards. So the Rebbe Nadana, this is what we do, La Halacha, to be Chofefet before, and then that makes it easier to be Chofefet after. So that way, it's kal. You do a chafifa that's more kal, and there we don't have to be chayish. You put the two together. An earlier chafifa with a worse chafifa because she wants to get home. And that, the two together, that was understood to be the takkan. And that's basically what Rav Yemar is saying. So I'm ready even to say that you learn out efshar b'shi efshar, but it's got to be an efshar. This is not the case in the efshar. She only turns to Russia. Dorash maremar, hilfetakar chista. L'maisa we paskin like Rafista that kulo amrinan, shekein lo amrinan, uchin emetarek sur v'yemar, but not the one about Rosh Hashanah. Now, l'maisa, we're going to see that this is not what it appears to be, because otherwise we're going to have a steer and ilchatak ilchatak later on. So let's wait for this, so maybe we can even get there now. Iboyla. Isha ma'osha tachuf balayla v'titvo balayla. Can she... if she's, this is the way she wants to do it. Is it okay if she's chofefet b'layla or not? Yeah, well, yeah, if this is what she wants to do or she needs to do. So Marzudra Oser, and Rukhanina Misura is Matir. Omer le Ravada should say Lerifzudra, the Marzudra, because he's bringing Raya Lamaisa to Rukhinina. Wasn't there Lamaisa a whole story where Abba Mori, who was the Resh Galuta, got into a big fight with his wife, with the Vita da Abba Mori Resh Galuta, to eat good, and she refused to go to the mikvah. It was a disaster. They were screaming. That was horrible. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak came in the middle of the night to be mefayas her. And did she still go to the mikvah? So she says to him, what are you doing coming now in the middle of the night? And what am I supposed to do anyway? So Ma'itei Hashta, what are you coming now for? There's nothing that I can do now. Go away and come back tomorrow. So he understood that what she was saying is that there's no way she can go to the mikvah now. So what do you buy? Because she didn't do chafifa. Zicha, that she undoubtedly thought that since normally she does chafifa b'yom, and Rosh Hashanah doesn't allow her to do chafifa b'layla, the chafifa b'layla wouldn't be kosher at all. So he said to her, well, you got a problem with your water boiler. Dudei chasarta. I mean, it's a rich home, this is a rich galuta. I'm sure you've got a backup boiler, no? What, tashtike chasarta? Oh, you got a problem with having washing stools or bathtubs, that's your problem. Avdei chasarta, there's not enough people in the house to help you wash. And Baruch Hashem, I think you do okay for yourself, you know. Ring your buzzer, the maids will come, and then you'll have a bath. Meaning he's telling her, well, what do you make a big deal about it? So you see for there, Maizerach, the actual case, where there was a little bit of pressure, okay, she hadn't been chofefet beyond. She could be chofefet b'layla. Dorash Rava, Isha chofefet b'erev Shabbat, v'tovelet b'motzei Shabbat. Now, this lechayr, if we pass it like Rav Chisda, this is the most normal thing in the world. Why not? Amalei Rav Papa Rava, how could you take such a thing? V'sholach Ravin b'igarte, famous, the tshuva that Ravin sent, Isha lot dochuf b'erev Shabbat, v'titvo b'motzei Shabbat. Not to mention the fact that there's a number of different pushes for the next piece. Rashi's approach is, you know, you should realize how outrageous this is. Because there was even a shaila that we had about how we could allow even chafifa v'yom and tefillah b'layim. But chofefet b'yom, hey chofefet b'yom and tefillah b'layim, we were asking the Mesir Mandrish, how should we allow a woman to do chafifa b'yom? And then, by that time, so there's always going to be a little bit of time gap between then, she'll finish the yom, and then there's going to be, 20 minutes until she waits, until she gets to the mikvah, and so on. What about taking for chafifa tefillah v'leka? Okay, in the end, we were matir. We were matir because it's better that way, since she'll do a better job. But you see how crazy it is to say such a thing that we're going to, the whole day? We were worried about 20 minutes, and you're sitting there saying it's a whole day? That's, you see that it's very strange. As if that's the halacha. So it's very strange. The Tosus learns that this is basically kefil milim. It's the same statement. How could you believe that she could be chofefet beyond shishi, is what it means. Erev Shabbos, and develop belayla if taken for chafifa tefillah. So let's forget about the igaret of Rabbi, but I mean, it's ridiculous. You understand yourself that it's absurd. But it's not referring to a normal day and the Laila afterwards, the way Rashi learns. So Rabbi realized he made a mistake. So Hodaruki Rabbi Amorei Aleva Dorach. So he calls in an Amorei to make an announcement. I made a terrible mistake. What I said was wrong. Bram Kacham, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, Isha lo tachuf b'erev Shabbat v'titvo b'motzei Shabbat v'tamei l'atzbacha hei chofefet b'yom v'tavela b'layla ha'be'ina tzomoch l'chafifa tefila. And that, if you would allow such a thing, leka, fine. Now, obviously, this is against the psak halakha that we just had a brief list. V'yochata, Isha chofefet b'yom v'tavela b'layla v'yochata Isha lo tachufela b'layla. What? You're telling me that she should only be chofefet b'layla, and then you're telling me she should be chofefet b'yom v'tovelet. No, it's not kasha. Hada efshar, hada lo efshar. Meaning, in a case where it did come out on the third Shabbos, so then, ela b'layla, meaning not b'yom shishi, which is much more much than the whole way that Tosfos is learning the whole thing. But anyway, what do we do with the stira, Tosfos asks, to the psak that we had on Amud Beis? The stira to the psak that was like Rav Chisda. So Tosfos' taina is that it could be over there that it's talking dafka about a chafifa that would have come out on Yom Tov. Let's say Mitzray Shabbos was Yom Tov. So Mitzray Shabbos was Yom Tov over there for sure. What do we want? We want it to be mafsid or tefila. She can't do her chafifa b'leil Yom Tov. There's no choice over there. So that, we're saying yes, in that case, she should be chofefet b'erev Shabbos. It doesn't mean to say that we pass her like Rav Chisda under all circumstances, but where it would cause her to lose her tefila, then ein hachinami is yet there's no brera. She cannot wash herself on Yom Tov itself. To do chafifa, perhaps she can wash off. But she can't brush her hair and come into all the shilas on Yom Tov. And that's not all. So what we, it's in this case. Yeah. But as I said, so what we really do is we do also chafifa before and then a re-chafifa. That way, we have less of a chashash that she'll be too fast on Motzei Shabbos. Omer Yerchanan, Patrai Nevi Yoter Otzmai Nevi Yoter Lo Atala Tefila. Omer Shlokish Isha Lo Titfol El Oderok Dilata. Diritnan. Ish Nirak Ya Oderok Kumosek Zitim. Isha Nirak Ya Oreget Uchminika Etvina. Omer Rabba Baravuna Nima Achat Kishura Chotzetz. Shalosh Enam Chotzetzot. Shtayim Eni Yodea. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Ono Ein Lano Ela Achat Chotzetzot. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. Dvar Torah Rubo Amakpir Alav Chotzetz Rubo Vein Amakpir Alav Eno Chotzetz V'gazru Al Rubo She'in Amakpir Mishum Rubo Amakpir V'gazru Amiyuto Amakpir Mishum Rubo Amakpir. Why not Ligzor Nabi Amiyuto She'in Amakpir Mishum Miyuto Amakpir? Because Yiguf V'gzera Nanekun V'nigzor Gzer V'gzera Omara Nida Bizmana In a Tovelet Al Balayla But Shelo Bizmana That's what's enough to mean Tovelet Bein Bayon Bein Balayla Rabbi Yochanan Never Bein Bizmana Ben Shelo Bizmana Tovelet Al Balayla Mishum Srach Bita V'Avrav Adarbe V'Omar Chibarashi Omar Rav Nida Bein Bizmana Ben Shelo Bizmana Tovelet Al Balayla Mishum Srach Bita But where it's necessary Atkin Ravidi Benarish and Mitfo Biyama Tetwania, Mishumari Avata, Ravachar by Yakuba Papunia made the same Gezer Mishum Ganve, Rav Yehuda made the same Gezer Pupadilta, Mishum Tsina, Rava made the same Gezer Mgachuza, Mishum Avuloi, Omele Papa Rava Ula Abaya, Mirte. Haina, anyway, Kula Safik Zavot Shevinu Rabbana. So what's the problem of Tvila Biyama? Tvila Biyama Bidishviya? Ah, they told him you should derp Shimon. The Tanya, Achar titar, Achar means Achar lekulan shalotei tumah mafsek b'nei. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Achar titar means Achar maaseh. You do the sfira and you do the mikvah titar. Ava amru chachamim asur lasot ken shemet avolidei safek. Omer avonisha chofefet bechad b'shabbat and tovelet b'shlishi b'shabbat because anyway she can isha chofefet b'erev shabbat v'tovelet b'motzei shabbat. Furthermore, isha chofefet bechad b'shabbat v'tovelet b'revihi b'shabbat because anyway isha chofefet b'erev shabbat v'tovelet b'motzei yom tov shkaliot achar shabbat. And even isha chofefet bechad b'shabbat v'tovelet b'chamishi b'shabbat she can isha chofefet anyway in cases where her shabbat is tovelet b'motzei shnei yomim tov shkaliot achar shabbat. Rav Chisda Amar, no, listen, it's true what you're saying about the cases, Kulo Amrina, but the Shekain doesn't follow, because Eichad Efshe, 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 Efshe. Rav Yemar says, well, the Shekain follows, but the case doesn't follow. Afila Shekain Nami Amrina, but not the part about Ishak HaFefet, Be'achad V'Shabbat, V'Tovelet B'Chamishi B'Shabbat, because that far we wouldn't say. The Mitzvah Shnei Yom Yitom Yishar HaShashanah, Shalach HaShabbat Le'etah. It's better in that case, Efshe HaFefet B'Layla, V'tovelet balayla. So we see from here that the whole thing was not a given from the Tekanat Ezra. It's the Svara. Dorosh Maremar Ilchatak Rav Chisda Kudemetaret Rav Yemar Davka. Not the third case. Iboiler. Isham Ashetachov balayla v'titpo balayla. Marzutra Ser Rav Chinin Amisura Short. Omer LeRavach LeMarzutra Lav Hochi Avud VeBedivit To Daaba Mori Reshkaluta The Ikut and also Rav Nachman Yitzchak LeFiyusa VeOmer Le What is nothing to do anyway now so go away. My Tehashta Tizki Vayte LeMocher VeYadam Aikom Ale. Omer, what's your problem? Dudi Chasar Tashteke Chasar Avde Chasar Dorash Rava. Isha chofefet b'erev Shabbat v'tovelet b'motzei Shabbat. I'm not a popular rabbi. How can you say such a thing? Hoshalach ravin v'igarte isha lo tachuf b'erev Shabbat v'titvo b'motzei Shabbat. Not to mention tamei l'atzmecha hei chofefet b'yom v'tovelet b'layla ha'v'ina tekev l'chafifa tefila and even that we were matter only b'koshi. V'leka Oda Ruki Rava Morale Vidorash, Dvorim Shabbati Livdechem Tautin Biyadai, Brankacham Rubish with Rav Yochanan, Ishalotachuf Shabbat Vititvogumatse Shabbat, Vitameel Atzpa, even Echofef would be able to develop Balaila, Abinat Zomuk Lechafifat Filavaleka, Vilkata, Ishafofef would be able to develop Balaila, Vilkata, Ishalotachuf Elo Balaila. Kasha Vidayoka, Kasha, Hode of Shara, the Loy of Sharon. That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you show here the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11.
Okay, today's daf is daf Samach Zayin. We're holding on the last line of Samach Vav Amud Beis. And we're talking about various gezeiros to avoid problems in tefillah that would turn out to be a chatzitzot, was our last thing we were talking about, or to prevent, the last thing was either gezeirat merchatzot, or to put a woman into a position where she's uncomfortable b'sha'at tefillah, and therefore perhaps won't do a proper job. Omer Shmuel bar Reb Yitzchak, last line now, Yisha lo titvo bin amal. It's also important that a woman not be tovelet in a port area. Afagav dehashtaleka emer beradyuni nafal. That even though the assumption over here is that the problem, even though there's a machlokas rishonim, but Rashi's general approach is that in a port area you usually have a lot of mud from just the constant passage of boats and the things that are going on in the water. And because of that, you have to assume that there was a chatzitza here. And even though we check her afterwards and don't notice any oil stains or anything on her body, it's possible that on her way out of the tefillah when she was kicking, maybe to shake things off of her body, maybe they fell off, but actually were attached. B'shas Maisa. The truth is that there are other Rishonim that don't like this whole approach because there's a Beferish Mishnah Mikvaot that talks about there being no problem with tefillah in mud because whatever happens, the weight first compresses the water beneath it. Sometimes here her feet would compress water beneath her feet, which would mean that the lining between her feet and the mud would anyway be water, and that would be mechuber to the water outside. There's no reason why that wouldn't be kosher for the tefillah. And okay, they struggle to explain the pshat that the Gemara appears to be saying by making distinctions between types of mud. There's the types of mud in which you could say that. There's other types of mud which there might be, you know, like concrete, teak, that's used for plaster and things like that, which you won't say that on because it's sticky, it goes directly to the skin, and it's more likely not to allow water between itself and the other surface. Or they make differences in terms of the weight. The Mishnah over there was talking about something of low weight. Over here we're talking about a human that has a lot of pounds per square inch on their feet. But anyway, the other approach here leaves out the words of Amar Beradyuni Nofal, because we'll see that they could have come from later on, and understands that the problem over here of a Namal is the problem of it being too open. And the same way we were talking before about a woman who would be nervous about being tovelet because she may fall off of the barrel that she's balancing herself on over here, she may be nervous to be tovelet because she doesn't want to let her towel off because somebody may be peeking, so she's going to do too quick of a job or something. So it's not a good place. And that would tie into the way Tosfos elsewhere learns the next pirish, which is that Avuad Shmuel Avad Levenate Mikvaot Biyuminisan Umafzi Biyomitishre. So Shmuel's father made for his daughters, when they were using the mikvah, he made during Nisan areas in the river that were actually kosher mikvahot where the water would stand still, because he held that you've got during the winter time a buildup of rainwater. And the problem is that rainwater, of course, is not mitaharik while it's flowing. The only water that's mitaharik when it's flowing is actual stream water, mayim water. And so during the Nisan period, where you've got a lot of water coming off of the mountains, and you have to assume that most of the water here is rainwater, not kosher for tefillah while it's moving, and so he would dig an area and seal it, that place would be an actual mikveh, and then there was no problem. They could use it as a mikveh. And during Tishrei, where the rainwater level obviously was almost non-existent, and there was no problem of moving water, but there he had a problem with mud. And so he would put out mats, he would put out these mats that they could walk into the mikvah over these mats, walk into the river obviously, over these mats without getting any thick mud stuck to their feet. And there would be no problem. Tosfos elsewhere learns that the mats biyomi tishrei is referring to mechitzas. He would put up a hanging mat because there they didn't go to an area that was secluded as a mikvah. And they used the actual rivers. He was worried that they wouldn't do a proper job at Tefillah for fear that there were some peeping Toms in the area, so he set it off with mud. But again, Rashi consistently learns that the Shmuel's problem was with mud, and that it connects to the port issue before because of the mud and debris that's often found in port. Omer of Gidol Amarav, another thing we have to remark on is that not tafshil v'navet avlavi alta lo ata la tefillah. If she's feeding cereal to her child, we're talking about a thick kind of mush, then she's got to assume that she's a mess. And even if she had been kofevet before and so on, if she goes to the mikveh without looking, you got to assume that there was some stuff stuck on her from when she was feeding her child. Avagav the hashta leka, even though we don't see anything now, we look at her and don't see anything now. But Amar Baradyuni Nafa, we have to be concerned, and here might be the place where the Baradyuni Nafa fell into the Girsa previously. If you hold, you're not going to hear the way the Rishonim and the Don't learn the problem is mud. So when she was coming out of the mikveh and she was shaking the water off of herself, she may have now, because of the effect of the water loosening the cereal that had been stuck on her, it finally fell off as she was coming out. It doesn't mean that it was clean at the time she was in the mikveh, so she has to be chosheshet for a chatzitza at the time. Rashi says he doesn't know, but he doesn't know that word. But he says, I mean, it's clear from the context that the word means when she shakes the water off herself, she doesn't know where the word comes from. Omer Rami Bar Rabba, Hani Ravdi de Kusilta. When you're talking about now the little scab that comes up after you let blood. So after the barber lets the blood out, there's always going to be a little bit of a wound, and it takes a few days until the area is completely scabless. But for 3 days after the bloodletting, the scab is still considered to be damp enough that it's all part of the body. And this is now the way that the body heals itself. It's not ready yet to fall off, and therefore it's not considered to be a chatzitza. This is the way most Rishonim learn. There are. There is a shita. There is a shita that the issue is whether the water can get in beneath the scab, which is one das of Rishonim. But the truth is, normatively, this is the standard that's used for defining the chatzitza and of this type, where something could be part of the normal functioning of the body. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Vamelech Hashem Vamelech Hashem Vamelech Hashem. You're right. Makes no difference. We're just talking about Bidahova. This happens all the time. Remember, their minute was constantly, even if you're not sick, to maintain your health by bloodletting.
So, woman had
it almost did kill Washington. They actually killed George Washington with his bloodletting.
A woman cut a week before, and she says a cap.
That's what's saying. Mikanve, like if it's over 3 days old,
what she has to do?
Remove the scab. A scab that is hard and is going to fall off should be removed prior to feeling.
And the open wound?
That's okay. An open wound is fine. Oma Marukva, Liflov Sheba Ayin, Lach Eno Chotzeitz, Yavesh Chotzeitz. If you have a little piece of mucus that comes from the eye, so as long as it's still damp, it's not considered to be a chatzitza. But once it dries, it's considered to be a chatzitza. And what is considered to be dry? From when it starts to turn greenish, it's basically originally almost transparent, colorless. Once that hafrashat ayin turns green, then it's considered to be already a chatzitza. Omar Shmuel, by the way, in terms of the dinim in mikvaot, and there it seems clear that the Mishnah says if it's inside of the eye, it's never considered to be a chatzitza. It's considered to be part of the way the eye protects itself, or just, it's constantly generating various things and either getting rid of it through the tear ducts, or it's mufrash on the surface and you pull it off without realizing it. But, so the question is how to square this with that Mishnah. There's different approaches. There's actually three different approaches. The way the Shulchan Aruch ends up asking to put the two together is that if it's in the eye, so then the assumption always is that it's lach. Unless you see beferish that it's yavish, it's about to fall off. If it's out of the eye, it's already yavish. So so that he, in other words, ties this into the Mishnah and Mikvah. He's giving a different standard. Instead of inai or adavai, to explain what's the issue. Inai or adavai, drier or still damaged. Omar Shmuel, kol shebetocha ayin. If you used chol for curing the eye or coloring the eye, so enocho says, if it's still being dampened, it's inside the eye or on the inner eyelid, then it's not going to be chotzeis, because it's kept moist. V'sha'al gabi ha'ayin chotzeis. It's above the eye, then it is chotzeis. V'im hayu einel porchot, afilo gabi ha'ayin eino chotzeis. It's two pshatim in einel porchot, which we've had elsewhere, like every other dinim. Either it means that she's constantly squinting and opening and closing her eyes. Some people have like either a habit or a tic that causes constant movement of the eyelids. If she does that, then there's always going to be tears that are going to renew the dampness of the clothes, then it won't be chotzeit, because it's if even outside the eyes in the eye. The other pshat that he has in porchot, which came up legabe mumin by Anisha as well, teary-eyed, constantly dripping tears, which is the same idea. Over here, it'll keep the area around the eye dampish.
Yeah, that's with the behemoth also, right?
And the same issue. Yeah, they compare it to the issue. Yeah. Om Rabbi Yochanan. If she opens her eyes very wide while she goes underwater, or jams her eye close, so that what happens is she opens her eyes very much, then she creates a chatzitza by pressing the skin above the eye up against the top, and it doesn't let water in, so that she's really not in the mikveh completely. If she closes her eye very tightly, then the same thing happens on the bottom of the eye. So because of that, she made sure that not to put additional pressure on the eye. It should be natural. Omer Shlokish, Hayishava titfal elav derech tefilata. Basically, the position during tefila has to be a natural position. In other words, we're not concerned for the actual bias mayim in the mokum of Seder. Now, the truth is, I shouldn't really say that, because there's a little bit of a machlokas. Tosus is pshat, which is not accepted l'aloha. But Tosus is pshat is something of an extreme. Tosus learns as a dover pashat that the klal of ro'ui l'biyat mayim that we had before, that we had yesterday, we talked about l'gabe bila, that even though bila is a ma'akev, but still it has to be ro'ui l'biyat. So he understands that that's the meaning of this whole sugya. You're talking about makom shebistarim. So all of those, a beta starim needs to be roi l'biyat mayim. And therefore, we're going to define how it is that you should stand in order to at least make it possible for water to get into the beta. And you don't have to worry about whether actually you were in there long enough for water to seep in itself. But according to that, Tosus has got a problem, because according to that, what do you do about your mouth, for instance? We saw that if there was a bone stuck between the teeth, that would be ma'akev the tefillah. So, I mean, according to that, the way Tosfos sees it, if you've got your mouth shut, it would be ma'akev the tefillah, because that's be royal b'yas mayim. It's not called royal b'yas mayim if water can't get in there, if you manage to shut your own oral cavity. Therefore, Tosfos learns you have to keep your mouth open. You may just jump in quickly enough that the air prevents any water from getting that's fine, but it's still called royal b'yas mayim. Okay, the other Rishonim say, I shouldn't say the other Rishonim, it's really mostly the Achronim discuss the issues, but the most accepted approach is, basically the way Rav Moshe puts it in the truth, which is changes on the body can define a roi l'bias mayim, but not the natural position of the body. In other words, the fact that you're keeping a mouth open or shut doesn't change roi l'bias mayim. That's called roi l'bias mayim. It happens to be your mouth is shut. The way other posts can put it in the generations, something that opens and closes is part of the normal thing. You don't have to be mocked, but it should be open. Your mouth is closed now, so it'll be open later. You're out of the mikveh when it's open, so what? That's part of the natural. That's what beta stare means. It's depending on how you want. So all that you want to do is make certain that you haven't squeezed your arms together so that what would normally be just your underarms has now become half of your arm. Now water won't get into even areas that are not normally beta sturim, in the case of the squinting of the eyes. You don't want to squint the eye, because then you're going to have pieces, folds in skin that previously weren't normally folded. which aren't called Beit HaSedarim. And that's the issue over here.
What about today? How do Pesachim ask him in terms of the fact that water is chlorinated in terms of shutting your eyes? When I go under water that's chlorinated, yeah, water, I shut my eyes very, very tightly. That's
no, you shouldn't, you shouldn't be very tightly. At least not for your husband. I mean, the Shiloh will be...
I understand. I realize. I'm saying these are the posts and bring this down and give this in terms of the water, closing the eyes. How do we do it when my sister? When
close your eyes. Eye, but not tight. That's all. Don't squint.
And the mouth.
Relax.
Don't they leave the mouth open?
Those who want to be, that's a la la for this, no, you know, I mean, there's those who take their hair off also, you know. You know where you come from. Now, so according to those, the issue of the mouth is again the same thing. If your lips are too close together, so then areas that would normally be open, right? So in other words, we say leave the mouth open, it's not leave the mouth open that water should get in. Leave the mouth open that you don't have your lips pressed. That, yes, that's what you meant. So says Rish Lakish, we can actually learn this out of a Mishnah. The Mishnah is a reference to how it is that a Kohen is supposed to check a person for a nega. Now, since the Torah says, Chomare Nea Kohen, the idea over there is that what would normally be visible to a Kohen. The question is, what's the position? I mean, look, somebody has a nega between his legs. I mean, is he supposed to stretch his legs to let the Kohen see the nega, or just stand normally? If there's no nega that's obviously visible, so then there's no nega. It doesn't have to be seen to the Kohen, because it's not normally seen by the Kohen. Or the other question would be, he has a nega under his arms, but he have to raise his arms up. So here the Mishnah comes to address what would be the normal position for a male or a female in which you, assuming a person was not wearing clothing, in which you would actually be seeing a nega. And more than that, you're not mechuyav. Rish Lakish holds that we could compare the din of tefillah to the way that the Mishnah says is a normal position. Whatever the normal position is in terms of the visibility of nega should be the normal position in terms of the din of Beit HaSedarim as well. Therefore, says Rish Lakish, what does Derech Delata mean? A male should be in a position in which, in terms of his underarms, in which he's doing hoeing. So, okay, if he's doing hoeing, he's holding his arms out of it in order to have the hoe, and he's going to be moving. Okay, but he certainly doesn't have to hold his arms up in the air to provide a better view of the nega. And here, too, doesn't have to hold his arms up in the air or straight out of his sides in order to make sure that the water gets in when he's being tovel. Or if he has now in the area of the crotch, he has a nega, then it should be kamosek zekim. If he's going to be busy collecting olives that have fallen to the ground, and so he's going to bend over to pick them up. He doesn't have to spread his legs, but the extent to which he'll be visible at that point is what you need to do. Therefore, for tefillah too, says Rish Lakish. Or isha, near et ke'orege, a normal position for a woman would be that she has her arms lifted enough to be working on the threads on her loom. Or if it's in terms of bending over, u'cheminikad bina, bending over enough to get the breast to her child. But this is how Rashi learns. Tosis doesn't like exactly the specifics the way Rashi has it in what area it's talking about, but that's the general idea. Omer Rabba Bar Avuna.
By coin, it says, quote, near other Enei HaKoyin, it's din of B'yas Einayim, but by here guys, it's din of B'yas Einayim.
No, I discussed that. And said that right, but Shlokish holds that since what defines both is normal position, we should be able to learn one out from the other. Which, by the way, I'm glad you brought that up, because it leads us to what's missing in our Gemara. There was another girsa here, and it's another girsa that changes the entire halacha. And even though we don't have it, the halacha is brought. And that girsa is, thus it brings that girsa. Let yochata kol hanishmaitata. We don't pass can like any of the above. That does sort of change things a bit. The fiyit mahani the taharot. All of those halachot before were said in terms of the dinim of taharot. Tomorrow is more makbid when it comes to taharot, in terms of chatzitzas and so on. And for her husband, she doesn't have to be makbid on all of this. There's a lot of extra chumers that we put in for tyrants. And the question then, since the Paskin, that language, The question is, what does as all of the above mean? How far back is the above? You know, so that, there's every possible trap you can come up with, someone says. There's a tremendous amount of discussion.
Who said that?
This was the gears that most of the Rishonim have. Only Rashi doesn't have it, so it doesn't appear in our gears. But Tosis brings it, says as do all the Rishonim. Continues the Gemara. By the way, some learn Dafka, in reference to what Aaron just asked, but some learn that the place that it's referring to is Vadai Resh Lakish, because Resh Lakish is bringing a raya from the mission in Tyrus. So it had to be a din in Tyrus and not a din in Tfilah Labala. This one goes all the way back to the beginning of this Sidra, up to the Chafifa. Omar Rabba Baravuna, Nima Achat Kshura Chutzetzet. The following, there's one thing that we have to be makdim before we get this. The din is that midiraisa, that where you have a chatzitza, the chatzitza makes the tefillah possible. The chatzitza is defined as something that is covering rov. In a moment we'll discuss what rov is, rov of what. It's covering rov. And she's mocked it on the fact that it's on her. If she wouldn't care if it's on her, then it's not a chatzitza. Now, the question is whether this is a reference to the body, or is it a reference to the hair? Or is it a reference to both together, or is it a reference to each individually? So there are some who learn that body is one thing and hair is another thing, and that therefore we have to analyze the hair as an entity. And if that's the case, it's easy to get a chatzitza, because the hair is measured by the individual hair. So if a particular hair is knotted, let's say, and water can't get in, then that hair has a chatzitza. Since it's very common to have matting in the hair, that's where we've got a problem. And that's where many learn that the din, as Tosis brought earlier, the din of the Takonas Ezra, Chafifa, was specifically for hair, not for the body. Those who dine, Rashi elsewhere understands, and in Tosfos elsewhere understands that Rashi Shita is, even though Rashi doesn't say it's a fairish, is that the din of rov doesn't apply to the body, it only applies to the hair. And that in fact the body, even less than rov, would be a chatzitza. Okay. There are others who learn that rov, it's interesting, one of the few places where the Rambam brings both shitas and says what he disagrees with. Richie. Rambam brings a sheet of the Gaonim that he calls it, that the hair is measured separately from the body, as a separate robe. He says there's no reason to say such a thing. But even when we're talking about chatzitza over here, we're talking about all the chatzitza in terms of the Rabbonim, if it's not a robe.
Robe of all the hairs, or?
No, robe of all the hairs measured by a hair that is chatzutz.
One hair has a knot in it?
Because you have 1,000 hairs.
Right.
So 500 hairs with knots, not 500 hairs that are totally knotted along their entire length, would be rolled of the hair as a chatzitza. Because you're not getting this hair into the mix.
But less than that from your body.
Well, less than that is the gezerah. We'll see. We make gezerah in Rabbanan that were marked, but anything that a person would be marked on, then even if they're not marked, or if it's a mir and they are marked on, there's one or the other. But that we'll be talking about in a moment in the Gemara. So Amar Rabba Bar Avuna. Look, I know that a single hair, which is kshura to itself, is definitely, that's a chatzitza, because it's tied tightly and water can't get into it, and therefore we got a problem with chatzitza. I know also, I was makabal, that if you got three hairs that are tied together, they don't tie tightly enough to prevent water from getting in. And therefore, einan chotzitzot. Shtayim eni yode. I don't have information about two hairs that together were tied. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, this is at least not hair splitting. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, anu ein lanu ela achat. What we know is one hair, and that's all that we know. Which is mashmah, he holds definitely two is not a chatzitza. However, of course, there are those who end up saying, the only thing we know, Vadai, is one, but two is a philosophic. Om Reb Yitzchak. Dvar Torah rubo ha-makbir alav chotzeitz. As far as the Diraisa is concerned, you would need for most, and again, I said before, what is Rov? So Rov, as Rashi learns of it, this is Rov Saro, doesn't talk about Gufo at all, which means that at the very least he holds that we can measure Saro and Diraisa separately from the Gufo. And at worst, it's the way Tosus understands Rashi, to mean that there is no din of Rov as applied to Gufo. But that's Dvar Torah, you'd have to have both Rov, and you would have to be makdid on whatever it is that's covering Rov there.
What is
Dvar Torah? Rubo ve'eno makdid alav, eno chotzeitz. Now, if you don't really care, then we're not going to be makbid b'diraisa. However, gazru al rubo she'eno makbid, the Rabbanan said, if there's something that is covering most of the hair, so then even though you don't seem to care, that is considered to be a chatzitza. And gazru al miyuto ha-makbid, or if there's something that's covering even a miyut and you don't like it, then there goes there even on that, Mishum Rubo HaMakbid. Because, I mean, if we allow you to do that, then you say, well, you know, they said I could be Tovelet even though I didn't want the label on it, so I should be able to be Tovel even though I don't want the plastic wrapping on it. So therefore, there were Gozer in those two cases. Now, why aren't we also Gozer al Miyuto She'eno Makbid Mishum Miyuto HaMakbid? And why not make a Gzer that even a small thing, even though I don't care about, since I could come to also, in the end, use it, even though I am makbid on it, and from that come to say, even if it's on Rubo and I'm makbid, so eventually I'll break down the whole inyan of chatzitza. That's because we have a klal. We don't make gzeiras to a gzeira. So higufa gzeira, vanana kuvin gzor gzeira, le gzeira. What's the problem, you're saying? Let's make a gzeira, miyur cheno makbid, because he'll make a mistake and say, well, I mean, even if I am makbid, it's also kosher. It is. When he writes a miyut makbid, it's also kosher. So what are you saying? Because min rabbanan won't be kosher. So therefore what? Let's make a takana to rabbanan. He may come to be over on something that anyway is a takana to rabbanan that we don't do. Omar Rab, nida bizmana, ina tevelet elo balayla. But the halacha is that obviously what the Torah says, this halacha wouldn't be no geiras because we're never tovelet in nida bizmana. But nida bizmana means at the end of her 7 days. So it says beferish shivat yamim tihiye b'nidata. Tihiye means that's her state. Did you bring it or didn't you bring it? You forgot. I have freshly charged batteries. I brought special. It used to work, just holding it used to work.
Special chair.
He's one of those soft-hearted liberal idiots. You just can't see the machine.
Mr. Charles also touched it. I'm just worried about the liability problem.
We have some lawyers in the room, accountants, and we'll take care of them.
You really want
to. So, Anita Bismana, since the Torah said Tiyeb Nidasa, it means that her entire 7 days, that's the state that she's in. There's no way she can go to the mikveh in the middle of her Nidas, like Tovelet for Sheretz B'yada. So she can only be Tovelet at the end of the 7th day, and by that point, by definition, it's nighttime. But Shalom Bismana, we're talking about now, let's say it's the 8th day, or she didn't get around to a mikveh, she could go to a mikveh if she wants. I mean, she's Tovelet Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Bein Bizmana, Bein Shalom Bizmana, Enu Tovelet El Balayla Mishum Srach Bita. The problem is that her daughter doesn't know exactly what day it is for Nida. So all she knows is that mom went to the mikveh in the day. She will assume when she grows up that she can go to the mikveh in the day, the day being the 7th day, the last day of her Nidas. And because of that, we cannot allow, says Rabbi Yochanan, cannot allow a woman to go to the mikveh during the day unless there's very special situations of duress, as we'll see later on, because we have to worry about the impact it's going to make on the next generation. V'yaf Rav Hadarbe, the truth is that we know that Rav himself had charata, because we find Rav actually quoting basically word for word what Rabbi Yochanan said. Yomer Kriya Barashi Omar Rav, Nida Bein Bizmana Bein Shelo Bizmana, Einat Tovela Dela Balayim, Mishum Sarach Bita. So clearly, he must have taken this idea exactly as Rabbi Yochanan.
What's the problem with going in the day of Chlap? Is the reason Matimin so she goes as soon as she can?
You're complete.
Why is it us to go on the day?
Because you're not
complete. Because you say this, that the daughter will learn the wrong thing, but why?
You're saying, why can't you go on the seventh day?
I say that.
The Torah says, so why can't you go? There's no reason why she can't go on the next day if you don't know Tefillah B'Zman HaMitzvah. That's a different question, whether Tefillah B'Zman HaMitzvah we saw in a number of places that there's a machlokes.
You're talking about the following day then.
Wait, he's asking what's wrong. I mean, so we'll let her go on the eighth day as a norm, and then
eighth
people will know.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay. So first of all, there's an inyan tefillah b'zman mitzvah, even not for her husband. Then there's always an issue that she should be tahara for her husband as soon as possible. And she's supposed to be interested in sleeping with her husband. So that's part of the yishud relationship, which is a separate question. And even if she has no husband, her husband's out of town, whatever it is, there still would be a question of tefillah b'zman mitzvah. Uh-huh. But we certainly don't have a norm in which the tefillah is in the day. And therefore, we have to worry about Sarach Bita. If we had a norm that people are going to make it 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, whatever, and then, I mean, why would her daughter assume that she was going on the last day of her nidot and not just a week later? But since that's not the norm, we have to be cheshesh now. The problem is, b'zman hazeh, why we should be choshed. That the Gemara is going to talk about. Because now we don't have a situation, ever, where a woman goes to the mikvah on the seventh day anyway. So what's the difference when she goes to the mikvah? That the Gemara is going to discuss. However, before we get to that, we need to know that even in the context of the Gezera, where we're afraid, Atkin Ravidi Benarish Mitvah B'yum et Zmanya. Actually, Ravidi made a takkanah that all women should go to the mikvah only on the eighth day, and not to be tovelet at night. Of course, once it becomes the norm, it's the eighth day, there's no real concern of Sarach Bita of a particular case. But the reason he did this is because they had a little problem of lions prowling the street. And because women at that point were in short supply, having been eaten over the past couple of decades, coming back home from the mikvah, he decided to make a takana to only go in the daytime. The lions didn't come out in the day.
Do you have any lines?
Yes, nothing from your neighborhood?
Is it figurative or is it literal?
No! That's why they didn't go out of there. Actually, there was a report, of course, you know, reports from those days with a slightly hysterical point of view of the kind of people that lived in Meir Shorim in those days, but there were reports of lions in Meir Shorim.
Yeah,
the hills for sure. Saying that there were sightings in Meir Shorim. And the question of whether that was a Yerushalmi cat, which is a species similar to a lion, Ravacha Bar Yaakov was mitaken in Papunya, Mishum Ganvi. There used to be muggers in Papunya. And therefore, he made a takana that there shouldn't be any tefillah in the night anymore. So there was no problem. Rav Yehuda made a takana in Tumpadisa because it's just too cold at night. Mishum Tzina. And people would, it was so cold that you couldn't rely that tefillah was done properly, even. It's just.
But you can't see?
It's too uncomfortable. And the same way we were chayshish, that, first of all, people get sick. They were very cautious in those days from chills, as you know. You know, it's become now. We'll see that. It's become now, looked at as a medieval thing to worry about getting chills because there's no evidence that chilling makes the slightest bit of difference. your anecdotal medieval attitude is not going to register. But then there's also the union of the tefillah per se. If she's uncomfortable and it's freezing cold, then she's likely to try to get the tefillah over with very, very quickly, miss a chatzitza, not do it properly.
What about Siberia?
Breaking
the ice story.
Yeah, there we go. We got the ice in Finland. I mean, that's all of Richie's neighbors are always making a little hole. Are those strings? Oh, is that what it is? I thought they were holding their wives in the water. Look at this. All these years.
I don't know, well.
How do you like that? Live and learn. Rava b'mechuza was also attacking in the mechuza. Only tefillah on the day was allowed. Mishuma avuloi. That was because they had the two lashonos Rashi brings in the avuloi. One is the watchman. Some watchman.
The peep man.
So those guys were a little bit dangerous to, for a woman to be exposed to. Or avuloi Rashi's were rooms or caves that had openings up on top of the surface in which it would be easy to fall into. And again, it was just it was dangerous to go there because you could fall into the ice. Omale Rav Papa LaRava. Rav Papa asked Rava Abaye, I don't understand how any of this applies nowadays. I thought we just got finished learning that nowadays there's no such thing as a nida who's tovelet bismana. Right, that's what you said. Everybody is going to be treated as if they're Zava Gedola, and they have to keep Shivas Nakim. What would be the din of a woman who's keeping Shivas Nakim? She had no problem of Tefillah B'Yom. Isn't that true? Shivas Nakim, remember we say Mixas Yom Kukulo. It's true that the last day is still one of the Shivas Nakim, so if she ends up seeing blood later on that day, she's going to have to start over again. But having kept the Shivas Nakim, she has every right to go to the mikveh now in the morning. Okay, if Lamaisa, she'll end up being Raya on the 7th day she'll start her. But there's nothing wrong with Tefillah on the 7th day of Shivas Nakim, and that's like the Shabbos Yom Kineged Yom, is, can be Tovelas in the day too. We're never afraid of, Asring Tefillah. So Michti.
Before B'ez Hashem,
no, in the morning. You have to mix
it up.
No, she's Mutaras right away. So Michti. Ha'idna Kulu Safik Ziva Shavin Rabbanim. Nowadays, everyone has a din because of this chumrah of Rabbi Zera that he brings that the women have a minig now to be Yoshvot Shivas Nakim on even Tipas Tam Kechardal. So then I don't get it. So then literally, no be a moment of Shavia. Now we don't have to worry about Srach Bita counting her 7 days of Nidas. Nobody will ever count 7 days of Nidas again. So if that's the case, why can't you go to the mikveh on the 7th day? Well, what's so terrible anyway? That's because, remember we discussed this earlier, it's because of the Rabbi Shimon Shita, the Tanya, the Achar Titar, Achar Lekulam, Shalote Tumam of Seket Benihem. So the 7 days we have, and then those 7 days have to be Ritzufot. In other words, you can't, they have to be continuous. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Achar Titar means Achar Maaseh. In other words, once there's Svira, she can be Metaheret. And that Svira, it's counted in the morning. Yeah, she's so ferris. Today's the 7th day. Thank you very much. And now we'll go to the mikvah. Aval amlucha chamim asur lasot kein. And this is the important part. As remember, the Rabbi Shimon said there was a takana not to go to the mikvah on the 7th day. Shema tavoli de safek, because we're afraid. Since the bottom line is, if she will be ro'ah, then the whole thing is canceled all the way back to the beginning. She has to now start counting again the 7 days. So she wants to be machnisat, that's mala safek, that she's retroactively going to be anida. So we don't want people being tovelet on the 7th day. And you say, well, okay, but I'll wait till the night to be mishabbat. It's only Torah. So because of that, we avoid tefillah already in the day, even with the chumrah of our shita. Amar Rav Huna. Isha chofefet bechad b'shabbat. You know, we were talking before about, at the beginning, the first takana that we spoke of in terms of mikveh was the takanas Ezra to do chafifa. And there we said that it has to be, or certainly it helps in the case of b'di'avad, but it was really, the truth is it was really my focus, Rashi and Tosis earlier, as to whether it has to be. Remember we talked about, does it mean it's on the same day, or does it mean that it's a, that it has to be Samuch. If you hold it Samuch, it wouldn't matter if it's in the daytime, and that's the tefillah is in the nighttime. If it's the same day, it would have to be the Chafif in the night. That was Rashi's approach, would have to be the Chafif in the night. So he just said it was Nogea, that question of if it turns out that we find a Chatzitza of the Tosafot, can you rely on the Chafif? There, you can't rely on the Chafif if it wasn't Samuch the Chafif tefillah. But it doesn't mean it has to be that way. For this Gemara, we see that we would like certainly to be marked to have the chafif as close as possible to the deal. But in any event, you should know that certainly there are going to be situations where it's a given that you cannot do chafifa that's some of the tefillah. Because, and in order to understand this, we have to first take an unstated assumption into account. And that unstated assumption is that there is no way to allow chafifa after nightfall. Because even though she could see what she's doing, she's not going to do a good job. Because once it's possible to become tahora and get back home, that's what she wants. She's not interested in sitting around and taking long showers or baths and so on. So if she has nothing to do anyway, you know, it's sort of like the value of davening in a minyan. If you're davening on your own, you got no time to daven, so you zip through Shmanesser. You're davening in a minyan anyway. What are you going to do when you finish? You might as well have kavana. The same kind of issue over here, right? So if she, anyway, she can't go to the mikveh. It's not time yet to go to the mikveh. So what's she going to do? Read a novel? So she sits in the bath and she does a good job on the chafifa. But once it's nighttime, she wants to go back home. And then she's just going to do a cursory examination, a fast wash, and run into the mikveh. So we don't like the idea of chafifa now after the time that it's shayach for tefillah. Given that assumption, what do you do when the leil tefillah falls out on Shabbos? Or worse, the leil tefillah falls out after, it's a Shabbos, it's a Shabbos. When it falls out after Yom Tov, which is after Shabbos. Shabbos, then there comes the first day of Yom Tov. So now what are you going to do? Either you're going to say, okay, I guess in this case, what can we do? She'll have to be chofefes fast. Or you're going to say, let her do a good job in the chafifa Erev Shabbos, and 2 days later, at night, she'll go to the mikveh. So here, interestingly enough, we choose the second option. And because of that, obviously we can't be makbid in other circumstances. In other words, it's a given that in a case where Shabbos, it comes, where there's a Shabbos, that she would have to be chofefet before Shabbos. So that means you can have a day between the chafifa and the tefillah. Since it's a given that you could have Shabbos and Yom Tov, so then it's a given that you could have 2 days between the chafifa and the tefillah. Since it's a given you can have Shabbos followed by 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, so it's a given that you can do chafifa 2 days before too. Well, we can't start making differences, can we? Therefore, says Rav Huna, Isha chofefet be'echad b'Shabbat v'tovelet b'shlishi b'Shabbat. You know what? She can go now, she can do her chafifa on Sunday, and not go to the mikveh until Tuesday. Because, look, Isha chofefet b'erev Shabbat v'tovelet b'mitzvah Shabbat, which is exactly the same thing. It's going to be from Friday, basically, till Sunday, Saturday night. But also, Isha chofefet b'echad b'Shabbat v'tovelet b'revi b'Shabbat, for the same reason. Because shekein isha chofefet b'erev Shabbat v'tovelet b'mitzvah Yom Tov shekal v'yot achar Shabbat. It's a given that you have 2 days. Sometimes. So since it's possible, it obviously doesn't violate the dinim of the relationship of chafifa and tefillah. And what's more, she can go ahead, take her bath on Sunday, and go to the mikvah on Thursday. V'tovelet b'chamishi b'shabbat. Shekein isha chofefet b'erev Shabbat v'tovelet b'mitzvah shnei yom tov shel Rosh Hashanah shekal v'yot achar Shabbat. So the thing is, that's a given. So we have to adjust our desires for a close chafifa accordingly. Rav Chisda says, now hold on a second. I agree with you in terms of the fact that where you don't have a choice, that we allow that, and we don't say it's better to do the chafifa at night. You're right about that. Kulu aminan. But what you said is implied by that about the dinim, where there isn't additional pressure because of the reality of Yom Tov or Shabbos, shekein, since it's mutter, when it is Shabbos, therefore it's mutter during the week, for service. Where it's necessary. But shekein lo amrina, hechad efshar efshar, hechad lo efshar lo efshar. Look, wherever it's possible to have a chafifa close to the tefillah, that's what we desire. And optimally, that's our gezeira. If we can't have that, and you're asking me, so what's better, to do the chafifa right before the tefillah after Shabbos, or to do it before Shabbos? I agree with you, it's better to do before Shabbos. That, yes. Rav Yemar says, you know, I would go even with the shekein, except you can't take this too far. I wouldn't go for the business about Yishar Chofefet Be'echad B'Shabbat V'Tovelet B'Chamishi B'Shabbat, because in Motzei Shnei Yom Mitom Rosh Hashanah, that din isn't even true. Shalachar Shabbat Lecha. The basis isn't true. In a case where Rosh Hashanah would come out after Shabbat, and the Leil Tefillah was Motzei Rosh Hashanah, second day of Rosh Hashanah, she should not be Chavefet before Shabbat. Because there's obviously a balance here. We're balancing our desire for Tekef with Hafifa, the Tefillah, with her doing a good job. 3 days is simply ridiculous. I mean, then already it's like she never washed. So anyway, she has to wash at night, so forget about it. Let her do the Hafifa at night, say she won't do it properly. So what are we supposed to do? So tell her to do it properly. In this case, we're certainly not going to go back 3 days. So over there, even the basic halakh isn't true. Obviously, there can't be a chicane from something that isn't so. And therefore, I agree, except I take exception to the last case. 3 days is too much. Yes,
she didn't do it in the daytime.
Yeah, she has to go back to the mikveh.
No, if she didn't go, didn't have time to do
something,
can she do it that night?
Yes, for sure. That's what you mean. That's for sure. Yeah. We'll see, actually, a case where this happened. Dorish Marima Hilchata Rav Chista. Actually, Rav Chista is right, but as limited by Rav Yemar to the first two cases and not the third case. Iboilu. We want to know, as we just were asked by our president, what would be the case of an Isha who was unable to be chofefet in the day, she wants to be chofefet at night. So, mao shetachuv balayla v'titpo balayla under normal circumstances, where it doesn't, whatever, there's no general takana where it's EF, she didn't. So, does she have to wait another day? Or can she, under duress now, be relied upon to do a good job with her hafifa? Marzutra oser, v'Rebbe Chidana Misura Shori. So, Rebbe Chidana Misura said it was mutter. Omale, Rebbe Ada Misura la Marzutra, wasn't there an actual case, lav, hochi havi uvda, wasn't there a maisa with the visa de Abba Mori Reish Galusa? It's a shame to have to talk about this story, but you know, Abba Mori didn't get along with his wife very well, the Reish Galusa, so they had a big fight. So anyway, they had a big fight, and she refused to go to the mikveh. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who was the local psychologist among the rabbinate, was called in for the emergency. So also Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, with Fiusa, said, he tried to work things out with her, he's not that bad, you know. V'yomra leisa, she told him, okay, Nusi, you told me already, good. I should stick with him, right? But what did you come tonight for? I can't go to the mikvah already, because I didn't, she doesn't want to say that. That's already exposing too much intimacy. I watched, took a bath, we're going to tell somebody what you did. So she just said, Ba'ite hashkas, what do you come now for? Tzuhansky, go away, and then I tell him, oh, you can come back tomorrow. So, Yadam HaKarmel, he understood what she was intimating, that she hadn't taken her bath and there was no Hafifa. Omar, so he said, what's the problem? You guys have a problem with your boiler here now? Dudi Chasarta, you want me to call a plumber? Tashtike Chasarta, yeah. You don't have any nice seats to sit on when you're taking a shower, is that it? Avdi Chasarta, come on, you're a family that doesn't have any servants to help you take a bath, and this is the problem, we can take care of that. But anyway, you see from there clearly that she was able to be Tovelet Belaila. If she hadn't been the Chofefet Biyom, she could be Chofefet Belaila, the Tovelet Belaila. So we should get up to the mikvah already? The mikvah. Should we get up to the Mishnah already? Is what I meant to say. Yeah, we might as well. I mean, it's really part of the same segment. It's similar. Dorash Rabba. Isha chofefet be'erev Shabbat, v'tovelet b'motzei Shabbat. Okay, he gets up and he says to the tzibur, a woman should be chofefet before Shabbos and be tovelet after Shabbos. Amalei Rav Papa Rava, v'ashala rovin b'igarti isha lo tachuf be'erev Shabbat v'tivol b'motzei Shabbat. I thought we got a letter from Rabin that's actually not what a woman should do. And in fact, if you think about it, v'tameo atzmacha, b'chlo, I mean, Heich chofefet b'yom v'tovelet b'layla. The truth is that even for what we do, which is to have a woman do the chafifa in the daytime and go to the mikveh in the nighttime, even that was a problem to make a takona on, because we were very interested in the habayin and take it for chafifa tefillah v'leka. We know that we need take it for chafifa tefillah, and only under great duress, because of the takona and the fear she won't do a good job, only because of that did we allow this business. I mean, we actually enjoined that it should be so, but it was with great difficulty. So you come along and you casually say that it's better to be chofefet before Shabbos. Shvacha maizis. Hoda uke Rava morale. So then Rava again called everybody back, put on a loudspeaker system, which in those days was an amora, and he said, "V'darash dvarim shamati lefnechem ta'utein b'yadi." I made a mistake, and I told you the wrong halach in my previous rasha. Boy, can't you imagine this happening today? Right. Yeah, getting up. I made a mistake in my last rasha. Bram, kach amar mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, isha lo tachuf be'erev Shabbat v'titvol b'matzei Shabbat v'tameh atzbacha. We should have really thought about this ourselves. I mean, even Echofev is the young v'tavela b'layla. Habin et samuch v'chafifa tzvila. V'leka. We're not good by baking our takana. We're messing up basically the way that Ezra wanted this done. The truth is, Yilchata isha chofef b'yom v'tavela b'layla, because we desire chafifa b'yom. But of course the truth is the halacha is that a woman should only do chafifa b'layla. Oh, that's really helpful. Isn't that a little kashi yilchata? Okasha, hadefshar, hadalefshar. So in other words, where you have like a mitzvah Shabbos, a mitzvah yonta, so in fact, it's better to be chofefet b'layla. Yeah. I mean, what we do really is both. We do the chafifa before, and then you do a separate chafifa afterwards that doesn't have to be quite as mendoyak, because anyway, it's not going to be. This is the Gemara.
After Rav said he was wrong,
now Gemara
says...
Well, no, it turns out to be the same.
No, Rav Yochanan said,
right, so the same thing here. Lo tachuf ela balayla, that you should not be chofefet erev Shabbat. It's better to be chofefet mitzvah Shabbat.
Even during the week?
No. Shabbat. He says, lo kasha, hada lo efshah means one is talking about mitzvah Shabbat, where it's low efshah before, because it's too much time, and one is where it is efshah. In other words, it is like Rava. As I said, what we do is we make the best of both worlds. So we do a chafifa before, and then we do it. So I'm telling you that's what we do. La halacha, we're chafifa before, but in order to be yotze this, we do once again to be yotze chafifa, mimetzei Shabbat, after Shabbat. Okay, gentlemen. Loads of fun again.
The price is 49. Ah. Us at the boat.